Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti. We're going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. And a big week, Valentine's week. A lot of folks probably planning on coming out and celebrating Valentine's Day this week. We got Nick Griffin. He's headlining those shows. And we talked to Nick again. We talked to Nick last time he was here. Again, another fun interview. He's one of my all-time favorites that have ever come to the club. And hopefully you'll get that across a little bit in the interview, but more when you watch his stuff. But let's get into the full week because it is a six-day week. Is that fair to say? Is it six? I'm counting. It's six. All right. As I do this, Tuesday, the 11th of February, 2025, we've got a 101 showcase. That's the beginner comedy class. Those students are performing tonight at 7:30 p.m., and that's always fun. People bring their friends and family out to those comedy showcases. The beginner one is a lot of fun. People want to see them. People come going, I can't believe my nephew is doing stand-up comedy. People also go, I don't think my little brother is funny at all. I can't wait to watch him bomb. And they'll come with those two mindsets, and it's usually a great time. The 101 Comedy Showcase. That's tonight. If we're talking, you got to do it. Tomorrow night is a huge night. Wednesday, the 12th of February, the Detroit to LA Finals, the competition, all of the finalists on there, and it's so many folks. I can't even get through all the names, but there's some real favorites. A lot of them I've taught before. I even have a couple of my current students as part of this group. I have no idea who's going to win. There's going to be a whole pool of judges for this one. I will tell you that Ja'Cory Hawkins, who's super funny, will be emceeing it, and Nick Kelly will be closing it. I saw Nick last night in open mic. He's one of my favorite dudes, too. I like Nick Kelly. He makes me laugh. But that's Wednesday the 12th, tomorrow night, 7:30. Get your tickets. Usually tickets go pretty quick for that advanced comedy class. Got my brain somewhere else. There are some tickets available, but not many. I'm looking right now on the website, as best I can tell, the finals of Detroit to LA. That's Wednesday. And then we've got Nick Griffin coming in on Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. That's February 13th. Also going to be shows on Friday at 7:15 p.m. That is Valentine's Day. That is the big Valentine's. Friday the 14th at 7:15 and 9:45. And then we do it all again Saturday again, February 15th at 7 p.m. and 9:30. For Nick Griffin with Travis Conti as your MC, another one of my students. Love Travis. And Chanel Ferris, the feature act. I've worked with Chanel a million times. We started about the same time. And Chanel and I are definitely fond of each other. Let's say that. We like Chanel a lot. She's opening for Nick. Great show lined up. And then Sunday, we've got another competition, the Battle of the Mics, the Comedy Role Presents Battle of the Mics. And 25 comics doing 3 minutes each with a $1,000 prize. That's what's going on Sunday. And I talked to Ryan Brown, who's in the competition. And I don't know who the judges are for this one. It's a little bit of a different thing. It's not a necessarily official Comedy Castle promotion. But these guys are putting it together. I said hi to these guys on Saturday. They came in, did a little mic test at the club, and kind of got a sense for what they're going to do. And it seems like a good time. So if you want those tickets, go over to comedycastle.com. They're actually selling them through a third party. That is the way that promotion works. But the link to that site to get those tickets is available on comedycastle.com. That's where you get tickets for all of the shows that I just mentioned. All right. Comedycastle.com. I guess I'll plug this. Hey, next week, the advanced comedy class showcase is next Tuesday. So that is a week from now, as I say this, the 18th of February. And I may say this, and I was saying this to somebody in text today, maybe the best lineup of students I've ever had. I know you might think I say that every time. And, you know, I don't think that I'm lying, because maybe that was the best group that I've ever had to that point. And now this new group is better than that group. So it can always be true that this was the best group. And then this new group is the best group. But I'm telling you, I got 13 students on February 18th. We'll probably talk about it more next week. And yeah, that show's going to be phenomenal. No guests. I mean, it's 13 students. One of them's going to host it. And then all of them, you won't even see me on stage, I don't think, that night, because there's no room for me. We got to keep that thing moving. That's next week and all that. So I just plug in that a little bit early because I want you to know how great of a show I think that one is going to be on the 18th. All right, let's get into Nick Griffin here. Nick had talked to us before. He's a regular at the Comedy Store. And I'm sorry. I got to get that right. I'm sure he's performed at the Comedy Store. He is a regular at the Comedy Cellar in New York City. We will talk about the Comedy Cellar and why that's great and why he can really develop new material. That's another topic we hit on. You know, Nick tells me a great story about the old days touring the Midwest. Drew Carey and him did a show that was memorable. Maybe it wasn't the show. Maybe it was the condo. You'll hear that story on here, too. How Nick comes up with his new material. Being a comedian from Kansas and what that's like. And, of course, we talk about Valentine's Day. We talk about love. We talk about, you know, is Nick the guy you think of the loveliest, doviest comedian in the world? No, but maybe his insights are real. Maybe his insight into love is one that we can all learn from and take from. And like I said, he's been on this show before. He's been at our club about a year and a half ago. And did a really great job. He's really one of my favorites, guys. I loved his special. You'll hear us plug that on the show as well. But again, he says he's coming up with new stuff. So this one, even if you saw it a year and a half ago, you got to come back for this one. I'm going to shut up. Here's Nick Griffin. I'll be back after this. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it's a pleasure to have Nick Griffin back on the Comedy Castle podcast. How you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. You had such a great week last time you were there at the club.
Well, it's always a great place to play, as you know. And, you know, it's just it's one of the best clubs in the country, honestly.
Yeah.
And has been for years and years and years.
Yeah, it has been. And, you know, this week, now I know you're a veteran. It's not your first comedy. It's not your first Valentine's week of comedy.
No, not at all.
Because, you know, really, when I think of love and I think of comedy, your face just pops right up in my brain.
I know. And you know, I kind of do get picked every year from somebody to do it. And and my upbeat love relationship stuff isn't always first thing I would think of, but I'm happy that they think of me.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good to be selected for anything, but I think it's fantastic that you know, if we're going to celebrate our love, and maybe they don't come to comedy all year, and then they get your act, which is a few more breakups after the Nick Griffin show.
On
Valentine's, maybe.
I'm going to try to be a little bit more upbeat this year, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you talk. I mean, I was watching a lot of your stuff, and you talk about relationships and your relationship and that kind of stuff.
Oh, constantly. Yeah.
It's
kind of been an ongoing theme since I started. And it's not been working out over the years, but I don't know. Sometimes you got to say, hey, it did work out for a while, and then it didn't work out. Right. So,
yeah. I mean, you know, when you think about people, and I'm going through this right now myself, because I'm, you know, I'm 52 years old and I'm getting married soon. And for the first time.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, thank you. And but, you know, I think about relationships that I had where I said I would marry this person and then never did, and was so happy years later having never done that.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you kind of are raised thinking, well, there's one person out there for me. I have to find them. And then you realize there's probably several people out there, and I might never find them.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, then you go, well, do I settle with this person here, or do I just keep the search going and enjoy myself along the way? And
I know. It's, I mean, I've been through it 100 times, or not 100 times, but I've been through it a handful of times. And I dated this woman for 7 years recently. She's perfect, nice, wonderful, kind. And I don't know. It just didn't work. Mm. And you know, of course, I spent, you know, probably 6 months, even a year, thinking, did I make a mistake? But it's like, it's like you said, after a while, I did think, well, you know, it didn't work out and it's fine.
Yeah. 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 I saw my ex get married and that made it much easier for me to get married.
You were actually there.
No, I didn't. I saw on social media.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I'm still friendly with her to some degree. So, yeah. I mean,
oh, that's great.
But I said, you know, well, look, she won't be mad at me if she's happily married.
Yeah, of course. I mean, she got what she wanted and it worked out. It's probably the better for the better.
I think so. But yeah, you'll have those folks out there on Valentine's Friday.
Friday, yeah. It should be packed. That's a big night.
Big night for us. Yeah, absolutely. Big night. The whole weekend. People will go out Saturday if they can't make it out Friday.
So
what else has been going on with you since we saw you probably about a little over a year ago at the club? What's new with you?
You know, I'm always hustling to just accumulate more new material so I can put out a new special. Like, I mean, like everyone else does these days. You know, 100 years ago, you know, there were like five people who put out specials. Now everyone does. And just trying to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. But I've always kept a pretty good schedule in terms of, you know, writing. I write every day, mm-hmm. not for 5 hours, not for 3 hours. I usually write for an hour and, you know, trying to try out one new joke a night. And so, you know, things have been going okay. And I mean, I did the Tonight Show about a year ago.
That. Congratulations.
That was a thrill. Yeah.
For every comic that starts, you know, myself, you start doing comedy. The dream is the Tonight Show.
Yeah, it's weird too because I had tried to get on a couple of years before that and couldn't. We couldn't decide on. I couldn't get a set together that he liked, and then I just was doing a set at the Cellar in New York City, and I got off stage, and he came out of nowhere. The booker. He had just been sitting there casually watching the show, mm-hmm. not even there to look at people, and said, "Oh, I really liked that set. And, you know, let's get something out of that." And he did. And it worked out. So, yeah,
that's something when you're trying to get it and you prepare the set to do it, you don't get it. And then when you're just doing a set, you get it.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a little bit older than you, but, I remember being a kid watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in my parents' room, watching it as well. And so it was kind of a kick to be able to tell them, hey, I'm going to be on The Tonight Show.
Absolutely. It's still a great credit and it still means something. And, you know, because that means stuff to, your parents, your aunts and uncles, whoever you see that doesn't follow the business or knows comedy, people who maybe never, who you know you're a comic but don't see you. When you tell them you did the Tonight Show, that's big time.
Absolutely, yeah. It's more for the family than for other people. But yeah, they loved it, and that was cool.
Yeah. Then we talk about the Comedy Cellar. You brought that up. Let me just ask you. I might ask you about this last time, just because that to me that feels like that's the spot that is in all of comedy. That is where you'd want to be. To put together material to work out in front of great crowds and with other great comics. And if you were going to get good, that'd be the place to do it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, they have four clubs within a block of each other. Yeah. And so, you know, oftentimes you get to do more than one set a night and the crowds are packed in there. It's sold out. And, you know, they run a great show like they do at the Comedy Castle. So, yeah, it's just ideal because the conditions are perfect. And, you know, it's people for some reason. And I think social media has a lot to do with it. I think Louis C.K. at his, you know, opening of his show, his old sitcom used to show the Comedy Cellar. Yeah. And it's just gotten really super popular. So, they're there to laugh. They're not, you know, they weren't herded in there through, you know, barking or whatever. So it's just ideal circumstances. And And that's, yeah, that's just good things happen there.
Right. So let me ask you this. If a young comic, because that's the thing about the hear about the comedy cellar. Well, I'm not good enough. They didn't pass me. It was hard to get in. What do you have any advice for any person who's doing comedy who wants to be a regular at the cellar? Is there anything that they need to do or anything they're not doing that they should be doing to make that jump?
I doubt they're not doing it because they're just getting better. And that's all you can do is get really good and get a chance to go there. But yeah, they're pretty, they're fair and they're looking for good people. And, I mean, obviously they've got a billion people who want to work but, yeah, just get good and, get good. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of been the mantra forever. Certainly for my career is I remember being a little overeager comic going up to the headliner going, how do I get better? How do I right. do? And they just get on stage a million times.
That's and,
what I tell. It's all you can do. You can write and you can, get up on stage as much as possible and, you know, cut stuff that's not working and get more good stuff.
Yeah, well, I say those exact two things in about 6 weeks in a class I teach. Where it's
great, yeah.
You know, get up as much as you can, drop the jokes that don't work. Does the cellar, because, you know, you do the road and then you go back, you do in the cellar. Is there is the cellar more, because I know how, like, heavily tourist the audience can be, at that place, is that more like the road than maybe some other New York places?
Maybe
because the audience is, you know.
No, I think it's probably. I mean, there's certainly a ton of tourists there. Yeah. I don't know particularly why. Just word is spread, there's a ton of tourists there, of course. But I don't know if it's any more like the road, but it is. It is. You know, it has different comics and they're all doing well there, you know, so it's not like it's one type of comic that does well, the New York comic or whatever. No, there's comics like me. I've done the road for 37 years. So, it's welcoming to all different types of comics. And there are different types of comics there. And like I said, just I think you just get good and see what happens.
Yeah. I think that the road, people always say that about the road, you know, the road is different. It's not, you know, it's not your little scene that you're on. It's the road. And I even tell my students that I say, well, look, you go to these, you know, man, this is, you're beyond this, but you went through this. I'm sure the little open mic at the bar where maybe people don't even know it's a comedy night.
Oh, sure.
Is more like going to a small town for a one nighter than the big club like the Comedy Castle is, you know, that little intimate thing doing those shows. Yeah.
And I think, as you know, you just, you try to do as many different gigs as you can when you start out and you kind of shouldn't turn down really anything and try to make it work. And, and again, I'm as guilty as any comic of this, but you know, you can't be too precious with your jokes. If it doesn't work, you got to get rid of it.
Right,
if it's not working, it's not working.
Right. Is there one gig that you maybe used to do coming up that now that you've got this level of success, you just go, I'm glad I don't have to go there anymore.
You know, it's funny. It's funny you say that. Like, well, yeah, as years go on, sometimes you drop some clothes, but there's certainly a handful every year where I go, the year previous, I go, I'm not playing that club. And then I get to the next year and I go, I got to take that club. I need that money. Yeah. So there's certainly a handful that I've played for 100 years that I wish I didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I did my share of bowling alleys that I don't do anymore.
Sure. I mean, just crazy, insane places. And I played a truck stop once and bowling alley and I remember Bowling Alley in Michigan.
Okay, yeah. It's where we got him here.
I think there was East Lansing. It was, there used to be one. And I played it with Drew Carey 500 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And speaking of Dedicated, we were staying in a comedy condo. It was all three comics. Yeah. And he drove up in a I want to say it was a red station wagon, and he got out a milk crate of magazines, and he would sit in his room and sit there and write all day reading through these magazines, wow, trying to find material. And I remember he was really into self-help books and stuff, okay, and kind of gave me some pointers and some words of encouragement. But yeah, everyone does it a different way. Yeah, it's funny. Mean,
That's cool, man, to hear Drew was out there, you know, station
plugging
wagon
along,
driving up, yeah, from Cleveland, East Lansing. Yeah. Yeah. Play to some college kids.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you still play colleges? What's your take on that?
You know, I probably played three colleges in my entire career.
Yeah, that sounds
I never got into the, I never got into that market. I played a couple, and you know, obviously the money's quite lucrative, yeah, but I never got into. I always knew also too that, the money was so good. Sometimes you didn't want to leave, so you'd stay in that market maybe a little bit too long, and miss out on some of the other fun stuff you can do. But, you know, you got to pick one or the other. And right, sometimes I know guys who do both that do great. But, yeah, I didn't do a ton of colleges.
So that's, you're probably better off from the way I hear people talking about them. Now, the guys that I know that do them, they love them. But they're like, you know, we're outside. We're on the quad in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Telling jokes. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound good at all. He's like, well, the money's good. I'm like, okay, but.
Yeah, they just have to do an hour and get away with the check. And sometimes, yeah, like you said, they're in the cafeteria while people are eating and all that stuff.
Yeah, that,
and
that one, just, too. I've done those, yeah.
Yeah, that was the one I did that was in the cafeteria. And I just was like, wow, this is not where I was thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some guys will do it. And maybe it's just you can actually study or eat your lunch during your act. But I would, I don't know. I think I'd get in a lot of fist fights if I was on the college.
Yeah.
Track.
I think there'd be some I
anger
agree.
Both directions.
I agree.
Oh, man. So you go out, you tour, you bring an opener. I'm trying to remember how you do it. You go with who he brought you.
Not to the Comedy Castle because they're so good at bringing in good people. But, I definitely, over the years, that's been one of the perks of being in it for a while. You get to sometimes bring your opener, and I'm from Kansas. I think I might have told you.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Kansas. Well, sorry about your Chiefs. We probably
that's right. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I play the Midwest a lot. So I have a couple guys in the Midwest that I use, and I probably play 20 weeks a year somewhere in the Midwest. So I always have a couple guys.
Yeah.
And that's how I got work. You know, they always, I do get questions from other comics, you know, how do you get work and all this? And I was like, you know, just be good. And then, you know, sometimes a guy will kind of adopt you and basically take you out on the road with him. I mean, Bobby Slayton was one of the first people.
We talked about him last time.
Oh, we did? Yeah.
I opened for him a bunch of times. The greatest, the Pitbull. Love him.
Yeah, the Pitbull comedy. So, very sweet guy. So, I have some guys.
Yeah. You ever work with, I'm guessing he's a little younger than you, Chris Porter from Kansas.
Yeah, Chris Porter's doing very well.
Yeah, he's one of our guys. He comes in, kills it.
Yeah, plays there every year, and everywhere I go, he's just either left or coming in. So I know he's super busy.
Yeah, he's a good one, Chris Porter from Kansas. But we must have talked about this last time.
Yeah, there's not a lot of Kansas guys. No? I mean, I think there's a handful that moved out to L.A. I started with a very cool group of guys that no one's ever heard of, but were very instrumental in, you know, I think comedy goes through different morphs and goes in and out of different things. But when I started, a lot of people were just writing really good jokes, you know. It wasn't, maybe it wasn't as dirty back when I started, which is fine, even if it is dirty. But I'm just saying, when I started, there was a lot of guys just writing, you know, jokes and good jokes, good structure and all that. And so I was, that was my influence early on, is just writing good jokes. And I think, you know, it's kind of, I've met a lot of guys recently, especially at the Cellar, from all different parts of the country. And, you know, there's really good joke writers out there.
Yeah, there are. And I think that's the thing that, you know, with the internet and all that, it's sort of like you can kind of get good better, or people are exposed to good comedy more sooner than they maybe would have been.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. I mean, there's guys that are, I see 26, 27, 28 year olds at the Cellar that are regulars there that I think, how did they get so good, you know? And they've been doing it since they were 16. And as you said, have been watching it since they were probably 10.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Because we did sort of, as you said, with specials, you watch, everybody watch the same guy. So of a certain age, everyone says, well, it was Carlin and Richard Pryor and you know, Bill Cosby, Robin Williams. It was the same guys because that's all we had.
Sure, absolutely. That was one of the guys.
Now you can see
anybody.
It
was exciting.
Right.
It was a big deal when somebody put out a special.
Yeah. Well, that sort of is, I guess, the downside of, right, the internet and sort of is that, and, you know, it at what point is it all equal? You know, your special.
Right.
The special of the guy who's been doing it for 6 months, the 1980s classic special, that's all, they're all on YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
It means so much and yet less than ever at the same time. It's kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's exactly. It's very well put. I mean, you know, it's something you. I mean, for me, because I write these little relatively short jokes, it takes me 3-4 years to put together a special.
Right.
And then you get it done. You're like, oh, Christ, now I got to start all over. And not many people, you know, got to it as many as I had hoped. So,
well, it's like I said, this weekend should be a real fun one. And I really enjoy watching your stuff. And, you know, you're one of those guys I can watch all 5 shows and enjoy them.
Oh, thanks. Are you going to be coming out?
Well, I work the door there. I'll be there every night.
Oh, right.
I do the offstage. I'll bring, you know, the MC out. And,
oh, great.
Know, I'm always around.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I'm getting married in a couple weeks. I'll be gone. But for
I
you,
know.
I'm here.
I'm excited for you.
I'm
52.
Here. 52, yeah. It's got, get that first one out of the way, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, I enjoy your stuff. It's so great. I just, it speaks to me. It's sort of, you are the voice that I feel is inside of me.
But then well, I'm glad I'm speaking to somebody. Yeah,
but then when I talk, it comes out like this, not like you.
Right.
That's unfortunate. I'd probably be more successful. So, but Nick, you're killing it, man. Great talking to you, dude. I'll see you this weekend.
Thanks so much. Right, thanks for having me on.
Check out Nick on Instagram. And what was the last special? Absolute. I'm blanking on the name.
Absolutely Wonderful.
Absolutely
yeah.
Wonderful is a riot. I've watched it again the other day getting ready for this. And that's super fun, too. So
thanks, man. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
All right, Nick. We'll see you on Thursday night, man.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Nick. Thank you. Great talk, man. Great talk. I love him. I just think he's the best. He is so funny. And I just love it and the attitude. But here's the thing about Nick. On stage, off stage, not that different. Maybe that's what makes comedians great on some level, is when it's not a persona. It's not too much of a show. Maybe it's more the real thing. I think Nick is real, raw, and absolutely funny. Really looking forward to the shows this weekend with Nick. And, you know, all the other shows we got this week, Battle, the Mics, Advanced. I keep saying Advanced Comedy Class. That's next week. the Detroit to LA finals. Have I had too much coffee? Maybe. Have I not had enough coffee? That might be true, too. But those are all this week. ComedyCastle.com has all your tickets. I want to thank you guys for joining me today on the Comedy Castle podcast. Thanks again to Nick Griffin. We'll see him this week, and we hope to see you for Valentine's Day at the Comedy Castle. Come on out. We'll see you then, guys. Bye-bye.